Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Today's scripture reading comes from Joel 2, verses 12 through 17. Change your hearts. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with sorrow. Tear your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, very patient, full of faithful love, and ready to forgive. Who knows whether he will have a change of heart and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion, demand a fast, request a special assembly. Gather the people, prepare a holy meeting, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the groom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's minister, weep. Let them say, have mercy, Lord, on your people, and don't make your inheritance a disgrace, an example of failure among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Pray with me, would you? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O God, be acceptable in thine sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. It is in your name we pray, God's people said. Amen. Amen. Three quick things. We'll get you out of here by about 12 o'clock today. Three quick things. First, would you help me welcome dear friends of mine? He is the senior pastor of the Elmwood United Methodist Church, and his lovely wife have joined us this day. We want to welcome Reverend Bradley and Sister Debbie Watkins with us. Would you stand for a moment, please? Thank you. So glad you're among us. The pressure is on. Number two. If you would be so kind, if those of you who use electronics, you want to follow notes and those kind of things, look in the bulletin. It tells you how to do that. We use a program called YouVersion, and you can get the notes, sermon information, as well as some upcoming things. We'd love you to be a part of that. The final third thing is this. We are looking forward to October. October is going to have our women's conference here, Coloring Outside the Lines. I'd love you to be a part of that. My wife, Emma, and her team, she's got a bunch of people. The only reason I call her name is because I live with her and I remember her name. But all of those great people who serve will be glad to serve you. There's information in the reminder on how you can find out about that. And we'd love you to take a part of that. Get online, because from what I understand, there are a bunch of people who have been holding back on their registrations. They're getting ready to load that thing. So get a part of that soon, please. All right, let's get into this and let's ask God's blessings. How many of you have had breakfast already? Okay, good. That gives me another hour and a half to preach without worrying about your lunch. Okay, we're good. I'm just kidding. How many of you had not breakfast, coffee, or anything? I feel you. I do. For the last 27, now 28 days, we've been in this series, fasting. Faith for complete victory, and I have been fasting with you. And today is no exception. I had my first breakfast between services because we're breaking our fast today. And I had grapes and coffee and some other stuff, and it was good. It was good. For me, that's been my practice, to physically remove myself from what most people call the most important meal of the day and focus my attention on God. Remember last week, if you were with us for this series, you might remember that we said, in simple terms, fasting simply means an exchange, an opportunity for you to exchange what you normally would do in your human practice to ask God to bless you supernaturally as you submit your discipline to Him in spiritual terms, an exchange. That's what it's been for me. And breakfast, indeed, for me, usually is the most important meal of the day. But I want to say something to you. Research has shown me that for many cultures and customs, dinner is the most looked forward meal of the day. For families, just like those here, you got your work cut out. You got a bunch of folks today. I don't know what you're going to do about that. I guess you're going out. Bad deal gone wrong. Okay. Whatever that is, families love dinner together. It's a chance to connect and share and find out how life is going. For some, it's the chance for that dad or that elder of the family to cook their best cookout meal. You know, I can handle this. For others, like my wife, it's her chance to show off. If you ever want to know what's happening in my house, just drive by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you'll see stuff just coming out the windows because girlfriend can burn. You know, I wasn't stupid. I raised, not dumb, you know, married a woman from Mobile. Whatever that is, dinner's a wonderful experience where we come together. And I got to tell you this. The French use lunch as their dinner time. For about 4 hours during the day, because they work late in the evening, they gather together somewhere around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they go till about 4 or 6, depending on when they get started. And it's an experience like none other. Between their food and their cooking, Italy does somewhat similar thing. The gathering of the family waits for no one. Work ceases, families focus, and they get together so that they might do life together. And in the process, they share their joys and their sorrows. And what we know about those who practice this discipline in France in the Catholic Church, not a moment goes by every day when they have this moment where they don't stop and pray together and believe God together. That ritual comes from the Old Testament scripture that we've been focused on, Joel 2. And in this text, we discover, as we have looked through it theoretically and historically, there are 4 reasons why people fast, and 4 reasons only. One, what we learn is sometimes prophets, 21 in the Old Testament, 23 times in the New Testament, separate themselves so that they might hear from God and give the community they're honored to serve counsel. The second reason is this. We discover this 5 times in the Old Testament, 7 times in the New Testament. Some king or leader is in trouble because of something going on, and they want God to help them find out how to lead and fix it. 2 other reasons why. 1, the community has found themselves in a drought, spiritually, physically, or a famine, and they are needing relief quicker than sooner. And 4, the text tells us that for an individual, whether it be clergy or lay, that person is vamped of spiritual strength and they are in need to reconnect with God, and they do so through this spiritual process of exchange, taking themselves from their daily routine of ritual through eating or some other means. For some of us, it's been social networks. For some of us, it's been having that weekly meal. For some of us, it's been the shopping thing we do. Whatever that is, we fast, we exchange that practice and ask God in that time that we would spend to speak to our hearts, change our minds, re-fortify our spirits, and renew our souls. Joel, as it's better known, is in the midst of 2 of them. 1, he's vamped of spiritual strength. Society has spent all it had on him, and he is worn out. And 2, the community is in famine, and he is the priest that must ask God to intercede or interject in their moment that they might find favor and fullness and fruitfulness once again. So I want to offer you this 4th installment and tell you that the fast is over today. You can go back with some temperance and do what you were doing, because dinner is served. Dinner is served. The text tells us that Joel calls the people together and says, declare a holy fast. You read that in verses 12 through 17. Verse 17 is really where I kind of want to rest my head today and do that in about 8 minutes and let you go and eat. Here's what it says. Between the porch and the altar, let the priest, the Lord's ministers, weep. That's for me. That's a bad deal for me. But the good news for you is this. Let them say, have mercy, Lord, on your people, and do not make your inheritance a disgrace, an example of failure among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Why should they say among the people, where is their God? This is in the Old Testament where Jesus is in the New Testament, Luke 4. I invite you to go home and read it when you have time. Luke 4, verses 1 through 4. It's a very simple passage here. Jesus models what Joel does. He goes away into the desert because he wants to hear from God. And what we discover is that Jesus talks to God when he is spent out of self. Just a counsel for you. When you are spent out of self, the only place left to go is to God. Just that simple. When you are out of you, when you are done with all of your intelligence and your brightness, your charming smile and all that other stuff you bring to the table, when you have been put out, spent out, and you are worn out, you got to go to God. Amen. Jesus goes to God in his flesh, and for 40 days he eats not a meal. And if you've ever been to that historical place around Jerusalem in those caves, you'd know that Jesus is lonely. It's the quietest, most desolate place you could potentially ever be in. And I've never been to the deserts of our West Coast, but I got a feeling it's even more desolate than that. Johann, or the John that is in the Gospels, celebrates his life through the tribe of the Essenes. And what we're told historically is he is the one that models for Jesus how to live in that day and age. And you have to be very careful how you do it. You separate yourself. You find time with God, and you're careful at night to find the caves there where God echoes through the billows. Long story short, Jesus here in Luke 4 gets to the place where this one who we're not going to have a debate on, the devil, your enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him, in 20 different texts, his name is different. You have that debate all you want. Whatever or whoever he is, the text tells us Jesus hears him. Now, when Jesus hears something, I like to pay attention to it. And the text tells us Jesus is tempted by this enemy of his soul in three distinct ways. One, through power, through feeding, and three, listen, through his own ego. The text tells us in four verses, he says to him, that is, this enemy, whatever you want to call him, listen, why don't you just submit to me and I'll give you the world? Jesus says, nah, I know who I'm serving. Throw that one back. The second one, he says, well, listen, you're this God you claim, so if you're all that hungry and you're in these places of desert, why don't you just feed yourself? Why don't you change the stone to bread, and that way you won't go hungry again? He says, no, I got to live by God. I can't live by the bread on this earth. I got to live by the living bread that ever comes before me. Then he says, listen, you're Christ, right? You're the guy that came to save the world. So if you're the guy that came to save the world, why don't you just do this? Why don't you let me give you the world? Why don't you trade your power in for mine, and I'll just give it to you. You won't have to do all this work that you're going to do. And he says, not my will, but thine will be done. All three times, when he's most hungry, most troubled, and most out of himself, rather than exchange his own want for his need, he exchanges his need for the enemy's want. That's free. It didn't cost you anything, but might be helpful to you. When you get in trouble, always exchange your need for his want. It works every time. Here's my point. Jesus keeps this process of limiting his wants from Luke 4 to Luke 14. In Luke 14, Jesus, at this point, having proven that he is who he says he is, side point here, leaders, whenever you take a bold step to lead people, you're going to be challenged, criticized, and questioned. And here's what you got to know. Stay with it. Because over time, if you're integrous enough to live out what you say you're living out, they'll see your fruits. Jesus in Luke 14 lives this out. He says, listen, I want us to do this thing. In fact, I want to tell you a story. And I've only got about 3 minutes left. I've got to hurry up. Here it is. He says, serving people faithfully and being true to who God calls you to be is like the king in this parable. The king, knowing who he is, says, let's have a party. Let's celebrate the goodness of this season. And call all the big shindings, those who are, you know, highfalutin. Call them all to my house and I'll set the table up and all that stuff and just have them come. We'll have a party. He tells the servants to do it. They do it. And the story is told to us that as they do it, none of them show up. Have you ever prepared a big party and almost no one shows up? It's the most irritating thing in the world when you spent cash and you got 18 bottles of something sitting on the shelf and no one comes. That's not really the story. The story also tells us that Jesus says, okay, through the king's eyes, parabolically, that is, he says, I'm going to flip this script and not let this dinner go to waste. This is for somebody who came in here wondering if God loves you. God always has a plan B. He says, go out to the streets and those who would never be invested in here and those who would never be wanted by anybody else, bring them in here and let them dine. Because if the bigwigs who know who they are but really don't know who they are won't come, let me show people who never thought they were anything who they really are. He invites those who are the least of them to come in and the table is spread and they have a good time and the meal is served. And what we learn from that is, those who least think that they are worth anything are really worth everything to God. That's what I want to tell you today. I want to tell you three things. One, God has prepared for you. God has room for you. And God says, dine in. Real quick, got to finish very soon. First, preparation beyond your knowledge has been made for you. Verse 17. You may have forgotten it. Let me read it very quickly just once more. It says this. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? I tell people all the time when they say, how you doing? I'm glad to be seen, not viewed. Here's my point. If you're seen today, but you're not being viewed, you're on the right side of heaven. You're in a good place. So just stop fussing, complaining, and be grateful. You're in a really good place because God is still working on you, blessing you, preparing for you, and God still has more for you. Romans 8 says this, that we know that God works all things for good to those who are called according to his purpose and who love the Lord. Here's my point. God is preparing for your tomorrow. Just live in today because his preparation is what he's doing. It's not so much what you've done, it's what he's done. And to be prepared is half the victory. You're already getting the victory just by being prepared by God. Point two, room has been made at the table for you. In fact, it's been made at the table for us. Notice verse 17, it says, where is their God? Go home and read the verse. At the end, it's a question mark, not a period. It means this. How can you define God by the failures you've had when you've had many more places of fruitfulness? Do you not know that God woke you up this morning and blessed you and kept you? I know times sometimes are difficult, but guess what? It's always darkest before the dawn. It's always most grieving at the moment of grief. But God is a good God all the time, and he has a tomorrow plan for you. You don't believe me? Jeremiah 29, Old Testament. The plans I have for you. The hopes I have for you. You've got it tomorrow. Just hang in there and do what God's asked you to do and let his fruitfulness come in due season. Our brothers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church have a magazine called Ministry. It's a monthly publication. Their most recent one is called about fasting. In fact, the title is Gaining by Denying. And here's what one of the authors says in their premier article. Here it is. Fasting without focusing on God means that we merely miss a diet. We merely miss a diet. But while you're missing a diet, don't forget the divine is still present. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's why fasting is important. It lets you see God's fruitfulness even when there's not much on the shelf. Last point, I got to hurry up. What do you do with all this? How do you make this work? Well, as I close, here it is. What are you waiting on? Dive in. The table has been spread for you. His grace is sufficient. His love is abounding. His mercy lasts to all generations. He is the God of yesterday and today. And while you're waiting on something that you think you want, realize that he is the supplier of all your needs. Psalm 23 is helpful here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I love what it says. This. He prepareth a table before me. In the presence, this is for people who have haters. In the presence of mine enemies. He wants to bless you so well that he wants your enemies to see that their best shot didn't work. Not because he wants to prove them wrong, but because he wants to prove his glory correct. That he can do anything for anybody at any time and bless anyone he wants to just because he's the God who loves you. Dive in. Today, I declare the fast of your failures is over. The fruitfulness of your victory is right in front of you. Take a hold of it and take it in as much as you can. For God has made this dinner available, and now it is served. Let us pray. God of grace and power, somehow in the midst of this ministry, you have told us things that will help us be fruitful for the living of these days. So, God, with faith, we claim hold of it, we take advantage of it, and we ask your blessing over it now. For those who are looking for faith in you, may they have seen Christ in this moment, and may they give them lives to give their lives to you. This we pray as we are renewed in faith. God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me and worship God as we prepare to leave this place?